Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald DeFay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show: if there's power in numbers, then the positive change purchasing cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, workforce development, EV charge, EV manufacturing, and workforce development, and other African-American solar installation-owned firms. To address the high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to use Black African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to build capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, I'm your host, and today's date is April 20th, year 2020. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we were scheduled to have a scheduled guest this morning, a former Vice President of Operations for the American Association of Blacks and Energy, Mr. Tracy Woods. But unfortunately, Mr. Woods has not gotten back to me, and we had a scheduled date on our calendar. So what we're going to do, you know what we do on this show, we keep it moving. So you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you will be in our green room, and we want to bring you right on into our living room and sit you down on the couch so we can have a very, very interesting conversation about what is going on in the renewable energy sector. It's very, very interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that as time goes by and you work to try to put organizations and structures together, rather than Black African Americans, our folks coming together, we seem to be trying to work our way apart from each other. I put it like this. Let me be clear on what I'm talking about here on this show. As you know, many of you know that the National Association of Black Solar, which was a organization which was founded by yours truly, Mr. Mark Davis of WDC Solar, Mr. Will Shirley of Sundial Solar USA, and Dr. Lillian Abrams of Peer Consultants, we've been working over the last several years in a organizational structure called the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And what we did, we did reach out to an organization which was being formed. It was called BOSS, Blacks Owners of Solar Companies. And in doing so, we attempted to see how we could work together. Now, the organization BOSS, they put out several documents, and I see that in May of 2022, in a partnership with the American Green Banks Consortium, the Black Owners of Solar Services Trade Association, we will launch an investment and partnership educational and networking series which will culminate in an in-person investment and partnership summit on July the 20th in Washington, D.C. Okay, and what we will do, we will make sure we follow up on this to make sure that the young lady who is the head of Solar Stewards, Dana Redden, and she's the founder of this solar. She's passionate and professional, dedicated in the development of distributed generation global solar globally. Growing up in a small rust belt town in western Pennsylvania, environmental impacts of fossil fuels shape her perspective, particularly for disenfranchised communities and those that most vulnerable. She realized that the need for environmental justice and greater resources. Dana founded Solar Carnegie in 2012, a consultancy dedicated to helping communities and businesses go solar. In 2016, then founded the Solar Stewards in order to focus specifically on a partnership between corporations and community solar. Now, she is one who was working with the American Council on a renewable energy, and it's very, very interesting. This was her bio, ACOR. We received this. Mr. Michael Dorsey, the serves as the on their board. Mr. Dorsey has over 30 years of environmental leadership in finance and economic development expertise across local and national international levels. Dorsey is an active investor and principal around the Corner Capital and Energy Advisor and Impact Finance platform. He is also a limited partner in Uber Sun Solar, a Spanish solar developer. He co-founded Sun Rise Movement, a youth-led climate change political action group in the islands first, and work with small islands and sustainable development and climate change plans. So they are the ones who have set this up. We will be reaching out to them. I see that the American Council on Renewable Energy, which I'll be placing a call into them concerning us linking up with this organization, ACOR, American Council on Renewable Energy. Now, it seems as though we're not going to be joined this morning by our scheduled guest, which Mr. Woods, but we will basically give you a little overview on what it was planned. Now, the American Association of Blacks in Energy is the oldest organization that basically has addressed many of the concerns of black folks in the energy industry. And it basically started out because there were a lack of job opportunities being afforded to African Americans in the fossil fuel industry, which was gas, oil, and coal. And they have formulated their membership over the years. Abe has grown, and they're having their 45th National Convention, which will be held May the 2nd through the 5th in Tampa, Florida. They just held a general membership annual meeting, conference meeting, to elect officers, and that was held on back on April the 6th. So we as I indicated, we were awaiting the response from that. I wanted to know who the new officers would be. This notice was given to require membership to take action on a items listed at the general membership meeting back on May 5th. It's customary that the membership meeting is being held in conjunction with our annual conference meeting, which will be held from 3:15 to 3:45 on May 5th. Election of officers and directors. Three office positions, six directors' positions are up for election this year, and governance with the committee slate and the position is listed below for your information. Review the nominations, and the floor must be done in accordance with the requirements of Article 9, Section 4 of the bylaws. The official deadlines for filing the declaration of nomination is Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. And you can bring nominations to the floor in relationship to following the bylaws as laid out. They have the nominees for chair, second chair, secretary, treasurer, assistant treasurer, then directors, nominees, and you have these individual names that are there, which will be quite a few as it relates to the American Association of Black Senators Energy. They are, of course, located here in Washington, D.C. at 1625 K Street, Suite 405, Washington, D.C., 2006. So that is being said, in a nutshell, we're going to keep it moving here on this platform, Solar Now in the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. As I indicated, we were supposed to be joined this morning by Mr. Tracy Woods. Unfortunately, I guess he had an emergency and he could not join us this morning. But you know, those of who follow us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show: if there's power in numbers, there's the positive change. Purchasing Corporate, it captures that power for your financial benefit. So all you have to do, if you're out there following us this day, as we get ready to shift gears and move right on along with the show here, as we always say, the show must go on. So 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. So with that being said, what we're going to do, we're going to sort of look at some other things that we have scheduled to be for discussion today. And one of the things is the most efficient utility scale solar farm EP contractors. Now, this particular article was written by Mr. Maskin Markvik. It was published on the 19th of April, which was yesterday. And this particular article, which was sent to me, went on to say, in this blog, we would like to dive deeper into the main details, changes, and trade-offs that EPC contractors need to assess when working or requirements, specifications, doing the tender and pursuit phase of utility scale solar farms to be precise. Now, this is something that is specifically designed for developers. It talks about assumptions. The ACE industry is a tricky one. Before jumping into the conclusions, we need to build assumptions that stick and stick to them. Otherwise, we stumble and we cannot go far ahead. The primary market is utility. Primary service is EPC. The point of view is the contractor. The EPC contractors are responsible for engineering, procurement, and construction. They step into a process at the very early stage after the developer client creates a request for proposal, RFP. In other words, requirements, specifications, usually a lot of contractors bid on the same RFP and provide their quotes. Then developer clients chooses only one of them and finalizes the contract. Two of the most common contract types are called lump sum contracts and time and material contracts. Now, we're going to sort of break that down here because there's a link here. For the sake of simplicity, let's choose the lump sum contract. A single price for the works is agreed upon before the work begins. After the contract is signed, the EPC contractor begins a single point of responsibility for design and construction. So let's look into that, as we often like to drill down on things here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. The lump sum contract are stipulated sum of the contract is a traditional means of procuring construction and still is the most common form of construction contract. Under the lump sum contract, a single lump sum price for all works is agreed upon before the work begins. Now, you got to be real careful with a contract of this nature, because we do know something called construction cost overruns. And you can be dead in the water before you get started if your calculations are off. It is defined in the CIOB Code of Estimating Practices as a fixed price contract where contractors undertake to be responsible for executing a complete contract work for a stated total sum of money. This is generally appropriate when the project is well defined, when the tenders are sought and significant changes to the requirements are unlikely. This means that the contractor is able to accurately price the works they are being asked to carry out. Lump sum contracts may be less appropriate where speed is important, or where the nature of the work is not well defined. Other forms of contracts that might be more appropriate in such circumstances include measurement contracts used where the works can be described, is reasonable, detailed, but the amount cannot. Cost reimbursement contracts used where the nature of the work cannot be properly defined at the offset, often used when there is an immediate startup on site, is required. Targeted cost contracts and so on. Procurement routes and for more information. Now, each one of these different contracts, there is a blue link that will go in and which will define what that specific contract means. Lump sum contract appropriations more of risk to the contractor than other forms of contract, and there are fewer mechanical mechanisms to allow them to vary from their price, and they give a client some certainty about the likelihood of cost and works. The tender process will tend to be slower than other forms of contracts, and preparing the tender may be more expensive than for the contractor. However, lump sum contractors does not give all projected risks to the contractor and is not a fixed price or even a guaranteed maximum price. The price of a lump sum contract can change. Mechanisms for varying the lump sum contract on a lump sum contract include variations. These are changes that the nature of the work with the nature of the works. Contracts will contain provisions for the architect or contract administrator to issue instructions to vary the design, quantities, quality, sequence, and working conditions. Relevant events may be caused by the client, for example, failure to supply goods or instructions, or maybe a neutral event such as exceptional adverse weather, and may result in a claim for loss and expenses by the contractor. Provisional sums and allowance for a specific element of works that is not defined is detailed in the tenders to the price. Fluctuations, the mechanisms for dealing with inflation or projections may last for several years where the contractor tenders based on the current price, and then the contract makes provisions to the contractor to be reimbursed for the price changes for the duration of the project. Payment to nominated subcontractors or nominated suppliers. Statutory fees. Payment for relating to the operation of works are inspections and testing. The better defined works are then the contract is agreed, the less likely it is to for the contract sum will change. It is important to recognize that a fully fixed price contract will not necessarily be in the interest of the client, as it would be required that the contractor price risk over which they may have no control and might not arise. It would also give very little scope and the client to their requirements. Advantages of a lump sum contract: client's risk is minimal, fewer variations. Client can arrange capital according to the payment plan. Contractor's cash flow is predictable, and tendering process is more transparent and impartial. Disadvantages of a lump sum contract: contractor's risk is higher. Poor productivity and mismanagement can lead the project into a loss. Poor details on specs in the design can lead to project disputes. Delays in the client's financing can delay the project. Design should be complete and available before a pre-contract process. Procurement times can be long. See lump sum contract pros and cons. And this information is all laid out, ladies and gentlemen. It is an excellent resource for someone who's interested in going into the solar development area, and you want to learn something. If you have land and you're interested in having a solar farm built or wind farm built on your property, this is the type of information that you want to make yourself very, very familiar with, because it is necessary. Because one of the things that we often hear on one of my favorite radio stations here in the Washington metropolitan area, I call it the heartbeat of America, WOL 1450 AM, which is known as the Radio One Network, owned by Dr. Kathy Hughes. WOL, which says information is power. Well, the lack of information is even more important, because information is power, without question, but the lack of information. And this information is of the utmost importance if one is interested in going and getting into the solar and renewable energy area. And under this area, it has related articles on designing and building. It says contract sums, difference between lump sum and measurement contracts, evaluation of claims, firm price contracts, fixed price contracts, fluctuation contract, account work, guaranteed maximum contracts, loss and expenses, lump sum contract, pros and cons, measurement contracts, nominated subcontractors, procurement routes, provision sums, relevant events, targeted costs, and variations. Without quantity information, you will also be able to find here in under this particular link under the article. Now, time and material contracts are somewhat very, very different, and it gives you a different link there that will provide you with that necessary information that deals with that aspect of it. And we're going to delve right into it and jump right into that aspect of this, but we're going to take a slight pause for the calls here on Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know, for the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the positive change purchasing cooperative captures that power for your financial.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, this call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. It's very, very interesting, ladies and gentlemen, as we have prepared this show today. As I indicated, we had originally scheduled Mr. Tracy Woods, who's the vice president, former vice president of operations for the American Association of Blacks and Solar, was supposed to be joining us today and talking about their 45th annual convention, which is due to be held in Tampa, Florida, May 2nd through the 5th. Now, AVE is the largest African-American industry trade association, which has about a little over 2,000 members, and they are a national organization. Well, the National Association of Blacks and Solar is a young organization, relatively, and we've been trying to work with all other solar and installation and design firms. And what we find ourselves in is a race to the top. The race to the top is to who will be organized and recognized by folks who don't look like us. Seems to be what and how things work in America. So what we're going to do on that level, we're going to sort of pick up the pace as relates to what we need to do with the National Association of Blacks and Solar to get our folks to understand what needs to be done. And we get busy doing that rather than everybody looking at me and and thinking that, oh, you're going to do it, not for free. So with that being said, here on this platform, we're going to keep this show moving right along this morning. Now, we were just talking about the different types of contracts that are available out here for the developers and in the solar industry. One of the types of contracts is called time and material contracts. In the United States, the time and material contract is the type of construction contract that commits the client to pay contractors based upon the time spent on the work, the materials used, as well as a markup for profit. In the UK, is a type of contract is known as a cost reimbursed contract for cost plus. The difference from a fixed price contract, which commits the client to pay the contract a lump sum fee for fulfilling the contract, regardless of the amount of the labor, materials, and so on used. AT&M contracts is typically used on projects where it is difficult to describe the extent of works required accurately, where the specifications and requirements are likely to change as the project progresses. The main aim items that can be included in a T&M contract are labor rates, the amount that will be charged for a workforce, which may also include insurance, taxes, and so on. Material markup. It is usual for the client to be charged the retail price for material and the markup to be added by the contractor if they have pre-agreed wholesale prices with the supplier, not fixed to exceed a guaranteed maximum price, and places the upper limit on what the client can charge by the contractor. Now, the advantages of using a time and material contract include it provides the client with the cost and transparency and allows them to verify invoices and timesheets to ensure costs are correct. It also allows greater flexibility in the extent that work is required. It allows work to progress even when there is no definite plan for how it will be completed. It saves time in initial estimating processes, which otherwise has to be done in a much higher level detail and accuracy. Although there is generally a limit on their profit and contractor can proceed knowing that they are going to recover expenses with some profit and so they can avoid cost cutting, the disadvantages of using a time and material contract include the following. It can prove more risky for the client to proceed with a clear understanding of the final cost. It can increase the likelihood of disputes arising. Errors in inaccurate estimates can leave them with low profits that may not be deemed worthwhile. It can necessitate more involvement from the client to ensure the contractor is motivated to progressing the works on the time within the budget. Related articles for designing you can find on WikiLinks contracts, construction cost reimbursement contracts, contract conditions, contract sums, fixed price contracts, guaranteed minimum price, provisional sums, target cost, unit pricing contract, and variations. You will find these links here that will break down everything and explain and define that for you if you are in that area. Now, this particular article went on to say where to start regarding our provisions and assumptions with the EPC contract working for utility scale PV farms that just designed off a lump sum contract. Now, this is talking about large-scale commercial solar farms. There are no more discussions about long-term energy low operation costs. The CAPEX efficiency, the only constraints we have are a contract price, and a safety requirement that the contractors include hard costs, soft costs, overheads, and profit margins. The biggest issues here is that the EPC contractor agrees on the price with the developer, the client, then they have a minimum amount of information, so it is pretty crucial to deliver the farm within a targeted spending and profit. It's costs, contract costs, hard costs plus soft costs, overhead, and profit margin. Let's focus on hard costs, the most significant part of spending, and go through all trade-offs EPC contractors need to evaluate when designing a PV farm layout. Now, this gives you a fake farm creation. Let's find and replace where all always wanted to build a solar farm. If you're interested in going into the solar industry, ladies and gentlemen, this information is a must read if you have land and you are interested in developing a solar farm. This provides this information. It lays this out. And I know how important this is because I've worked up several business plan outlets for several potential families who were interested in developing solar farms. And this is very, 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 very important information. Google Map doesn't define solar property boundaries in real life. Boundaries from the ALTA land title survey, but we won't worry about this for now. The purpose of this exercise will be to go ahead and create a imaginary solar farm. Let's imagine that we are a EPC contractor and we just signed off on a contract for a parcel of land above secure, we built some assumptions and did some calculations. So it is not unfounded numbers with a lump sum price of $50 million. Thus, we have constraints we cannot exceed with hard costs, and we also have requirements, specifications for the client. The conditions make the definition of most efficient utility PV farms relatively straightforward to minimize hard costs with respect to clients' requirement. Before we start having fun with the experiment, let's define what information we need to have about the site and the client's requirements that are required. Then we will break down hard cost categories, speculate on what trade-off EPC contractors typically need to consider. What information, what do we need to have about the site? And it breaks down that information. Okay, obviously, the EPC contractor needs this information long before the contractor signs off. But in real life, one will never have enough time to mine the data of maize properly. Moreover, the data flows is coming and constantly updating without giving any with any respect. We should separate all data we need about a site into two categories: data defining immovable boundaries cannot cross the boundaries at any cost. Data defining movable boundaries, you can change them at cost. In most cases, boundaries are policy lines or area spots. Let me provide a few examples of data mining immovable boundaries. Now, it has an ALT survey legal document. It's the detailed drawings of property that shows the boundaries and related title, zoning requirements, including required highlighted, limited setback, landscaping, site visibility, exposure, and screening. Below, you can see hard drone sketches of fake PV farms, sites showing what is usually illustrated in a survey. So all of this information, ladies and gentlemen, you will be able to find here on these maps. And it is very, very, very important that you go through this and you get the necessary building permits, client responsibilities. It lays out every aspect of designing and building a solar farm if you are interested and you have land. And it has, in its closing summary, the idea of this blog was to go through the feedback loop and trade-offs of an EPC contract. Please bear in mind that all specifications were done in a conceptual way, and a real project requires much more accurate, considerable ways of analyzing the scenarios. We are all open to ideas, comment, and feedback, so feel free to write a comment and you can contact them. And there's a link there. So we're going to be reaching back out to folks who published this article, and we'll see if we can get them here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. So we'll have someone from their organization to basically talk about, and we can look at that aspect of this planning phase that is very, very key for anyone that is interested in going into the solar farm business without question. Now, there are a number of very, very announcements under our news and events tab here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with Economic Impact on Black America. And what we're going to do, let's take a slight pause for the cause, and we'll be right back here.
I feel a song worth singing. I can sing it. I feel a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that the slogan for this show is this: power in numbers and the positive change purchasing cooperative captures that powerful power for your financial benefit. Now, that's been the slogan for this show for a number of years, and we have attempted to stay the course with working in the arena of renewable energy to get information out to the African American community. Now, it's very, very interesting to me how many of our organizations choose to operate specifically as it relates to this renewable energy industry. It seems as though folks want to choose and pick and choose who they want to speak to about this. But this issue is an issue that comes down to those who are committed to speak truth to power as it relates to this industry. I saw a very, very interesting piece this morning on News Channel 8 that talked about how clean is clean energy. and it talked about some of the issues that has been brought to my attention by Dr. Lillian Abrams, who is the lead, in my opinion, is the leading African-American environmental engineering firm in America called Peer Consultants, which is one of the co-founders of the National Association of Black Consultants. And she mentioned this to me several years ago about what's going to happen when these solar panels, for these solar panels that are on these large-scale solar farms all over the year, all over the country, have to be replaced. Where do they go and what do they do? And I found this morning that this is one of the things that were being discussed. So-called clean energy isn't clean, but it's much cleaner in terms of the energy it produces and the escape of the carbon dioxide into the environment, which is warming the planet. But that the issue is, what do we do with all of these solar panels once their maturity dates run through and they have to be replaced? But I also saw the same thing as it relates to wind turbines. The actual blades, they don't have places to bury those, so they have to pull them out in the desert. And all of them have some drawbacks. Nothing is 100%, but it seems to me that the physical materials could be melted down and utilized rather than put into a landfill. Those materials could be recycled, and those turbines could be reconditioned so that they would not have to be buried in landfills out in Arizona somewhere in the desert. So this is how cost in capitalism gets you in trouble, where people feel that it's more cost effective to throw something out for that you had to go into the earth to get the materials to produce, rather than to recycle those materials. So with that being said, I'm not in the industry of building wind turbines, but it seems to be more cost effective for them to rebuild them new rather than to recycle them. To me, that's something for the engineers, but on the thing called common sense, it would seem as though it would make more sense for there to be some type of way to recycle those windmill, the fans for these wind turbines in the wind industry. But I'll have to get Mr. Paul Reeves on my back on the airways to sort of talk about that, because he's the expert in that area, in that arena. Now, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you join us on a regular basis, the call-in number for this show is 646-668-2948. The call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, we've been engaged in listening to a number of webinars. We've listened to people talk about environmental racism, all the things surrounding how do we address dealing with climate change. This is the issue. Solar is just one aspect of it, but it's the area that has the greatest potential and has been the fastest growing and the cheapest form of energy, which everyone has the opportunity to participate in that, because if the sun comes up over your house, you got a shot. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more than that. Now, what we're going to do today, we're going to sort of, as we said, we're going to look at what is really in front of us as it relates to how do we actually get things done. And when we began to look at these things that are being done, it's very, very interesting to me how everyone has a platform and a program, but they don't address any of these issues as it relates to the African-American community. They talk around it, about it, but they don't talk to us. Now, this is the latest from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, which is an organizational structure here in Washington, D.C. You have John Farrell, who has a podcast, and he just did an interesting, crucial conversation about monopoly power, and there is a link for that. It also goes in and talks about from New Mexico, New Energy Economy Executive Director Merrill Nassati discusses unexpected win to prevent utility merger that would have further reduced local power over electrical systems. In the case involving the Arizona utility, June Su, an attorney and director of the Energy Justice Program at the Center for Biological Diversity, discussed a big win in the court that could help set precedent for challenging utility policies that attack locals' solar using antitrust laws. In Maine, State Representative Seth Berry, a state senator, Rick Barnett, are leading a bipartisan coalition to transform the state's poor-performing private utilities into a consumer-owned utility to save customers money and improve service. And you'll be able to find that information, which we will be basically putting under our news and events tab. We also shared our comments, hosting capacity and analysis. So I often utilize a lot of information because they do an excellent job. This particular article was authored by Maria McCoy, is a research associate with the Energy Democracy Initiative. This is a role she contributes to the blog and podcast. In the early April, the Institute for Local Self-Reliance submitted comments to the Minnesota Public Service Commission regarding Electric Utility Excels Energy 2021 Hosting Capacity Report. Minnesota is one of seven states that require utilities to conduct hosting capacity analysis and present these requests in a MAP resources. That, with six other states requiring hosting analysis, are California, Connecticut, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, and Maryland. Well, all of these states have what they call deregulated markets, and you have some form of renewable portfolio standard legislation that have passed through the state legislature in these states that says by a specific date in the future, whether it be 2030, 2035, 2040, 2050, that a certain amount of renewable energy must come in those market demographics for the generation of electricity under that utility from renewable energy sources, which is whether it can be solar, wind, hydronetics, which we know is hydro, or nuclear. It has to become from a nuclear source. All of this information you will be able to find. The local for local self-reliance does an excellent job in doing that. They also provide, in this particular article, if an analysis is done well, customers can use it as an indication of available generation host capacity in a particular area or grid, allowing solar project developers to know if there's room to add more to their projects there. Minnesota Commission has also set a long-term hosting capacity analysis to simplify generation connected to the fast track grid. In other words, what has happened is the utility industry is so controlled by the gas, oil, and coal industry that they have put specific caps on how much energy can be generated from solar, wind, and other forms of renewable. And you will find for solar on a national level, it's less than 3%. So I don't know how in the world, they're screaming right now in Congress, oh, we're past the point of no return with climate change. Well, everybody never need to get a vote, because we up the river without a path, because nobody is addressing these things on a consistent basis. And we have beat the drum around getting this kind of content information out on a week-to-week basis to educate the African-American community around these issues and discussions, because believe me, it's not happening. African-American communities, we have been caught in a day-to-day survival mode in the United States of America, and we've been positioned and put in a box. And the only way you can get out of that box, you got to be ready to do what I do every day. Let's get ready to rumble, just like we will do on any aspect of life if we see it's coming out of our pockets and we're going to be forced to pay for it whether we participate or not. So this is something that we cannot ignore, and it's not going to go away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We want to say to Brother Tracy Woods, we hope that everything's well with you, and I apologize for him not being here today to sort of share some of his thoughts about where Abe is moving and going, because he has now left the American Association of Blacks and Solar. That being said, we're going to close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. But before we do so, we want everybody to remember that the slogan for this show, if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar design, installation, EV charge, EV manufacturing, and other renewable energy companies, African-American renewable energy companies in the renewable energy sector, to address the effect of higher energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities. Okay? Also, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the underemployment of Africans locally and nationally. Also, to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with economic impact on Black America. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for joining us for another exciting edition of this show. And we want to, as we say, we don't want you to meet us back here. We want you to beat us back here as we are broadcasting over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. This show can be heard on iTunes. We are streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And with that being said, we are going to close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So until next week, we say, as we normally do, go in peace.
Someone singing, I can tell, sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it.